Right now it is time to bring in Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning. From the Windy City of Chicago.
I wasn't sure whether you were going to be on, because I know it's an hour. It's, I think, an hour or two different where you are.
Yep, it's a little earlier. It's an hour earlier, but it's okay. The sun is up. I'm up.
So right now, from Sharon, Connecticut, of course, to Florida, to Chicago, all yes. To bring you Appraise This.
Truly a national program.
That is exactly right. All right. Well, I want to get your opinion on something, both of you. And I posted something yesterday with a little tagline. Of course, Jeff Bezos and his brother will fly on Blue Origin's first human space flight, along with auction winners. Right now, I think the auction for the seat is around $2 million. What's your thought about this auction?
Well, it's going to be a first. Let's just say that.
You know,
the bids are really, it's approaching 3 million. I think it's 2.8 at this point. And they're just about at 3 million. It's another illustration of rare, hard to get, one of a kind. I mean, let's look at the value characteristics that go into why people are going after this, is to be the first. It's there's so many things about this. That and it's also helping raise the funds that he needs to also get this going. But it's interesting. I guess when this went on up for auction, it basically jumped $1.4 million in 24 hours. I mean, it was just very active bidding, and you know, so you've got these people that have a lot of money that are just thinking, hey, I want this opportunity.
It's a totally autonomous flight. There's nobody in there but you. I always wanted to go into space, and it sounds like an interesting idea to me, but for some reason I would like a commander in the capsule with me. Not Bezos, you know. I know he can make a lot of money.
You know, it's not like having one of the hybrid cars that drives around on itself here on Earth, where if you bang into something, you're going to be able to get out of the car and walk away. If something happens up there,
I guess one way you're going to be famous, either if you go up and come back down, or if you go up and don't come back down, you're going to be talked about for centuries. So, you know, why not?
What I was going to say, the other thing about this is, and I agree. I mean, especially the other thing is, this is, it's for 12 minutes. Yeah. I mean, really, you know, it's a very limited amount of time. But they received over 5,200 bids, and it will be closing June 12th. So, what is that, next week or over the weekend? I think it's over the weekend. That will be closing. So they are currently at, I think it's 2.8, and it'll be interesting to see where the final bid comes in. But it's scheduled to go off in July 20th is when this is going to happen.
Well, I hope it all works out all right. I do because you know the situation is there for real tragedy. So I think, but that's what makes it. It's kind of like looking at demolition derby, the figure eight demolition derby. People go there to see the crashes. So part of the excitement, I think, is the danger that goes with it. So,
of course. Yeah. Of course. Being first.
All I can say is it's just better him than me, because I saw your post yesterday, and that capsule does not look very big at all.
Well, we'll see what happens, but I just I found it an interesting auction story to talk about.
So, it was.
So we'll go from space to a tiny little stamp that Sotheby's is auctioning off today that last sold for $9.5 million. It's only a tiny scale, and it's not even not used, by the way. I think, what did I see a quote? NPR did a story on this, and they said, really, when you look at it, it's really kind of underwhelming, but it's going to go for $9.5 million last time, so I would figure probably going to double that now, in today's society.
Well, actually, they are calling this stamp, it's the so-called Mona Lisa of the stamp world that's going to be auctioned off today at Sotheby's. And they're expecting it to bring around $15 million. And it's basically like a little scrap of paper. So it's the way that they're looking at it. But, here again, it goes into rarity and desirability within a marketplace. And, this could be hard for people to understand. You just say, wait, it's a little piece of paper. But I guess for the stamp world, it holds a lot of reverence and notoriety.
Well, one of the things, but I'm kind of glad you brought this up, Marshall, because, over the years, we have seen, I can't tell you how many dozens and dozens of stamp collections, but the stamp collections that we have seen are in binders. They're the stamps that are attractive, that people collect them because they're colorful. They're collecting them for a totally different reason than rarity. And stamp collecting is one of those areas that it can go from the ridiculous to the sublime. And this is a perfect example of the sublime, because this one particular stamp, if it sells for $15 million, is going to be quite a record.
Well, you listen to that, and then watching the Indianapolis 500, some information dropped about the car auction that happened in Indianapolis this year. The top 10 prices, a 67 Shelby, $3.3 million, a 1930 Duesenberg, $2.97 million. Listen to this, a 1969 Ford Bronco. It was Parnelli Jones's, though, sold for $1.8 million. Another Ford GT sold for $1.9 million. The Ford GT Lightweight sold for the top 10 cars sold for over $15 million.
Yeah. Do you remember, it might have been a year or so ago, we were talking a similar event, but only with paintings, where there was, in the paintings market, it's the same thing now that I think is happening in the collectible cars market. And that is these iconic vehicles are selling now the way art as a commodity was selling like 5 years ago. So, and I'm not exactly sure why that is. Do you have any idea why that is, Tim?
No. and you have to be honest, is it what we're experiencing in a lot of these, what's happening at auction is that there's a shift, there's a shakeup, there's things that are happening that I think that we will start to understand as things happen. And we've seen this, Greg, several times, is we're like, wait, where is this going? Like the sneakers or the video cartridges, more and more people they're getting them graded, they're doing this. And the prices are going crazy, but there has to be a saturation point at some point too, where people say, okay, no, stop, wait, it's not that rare. Or we will have a better idea as time goes on.
Well, I was talking to someone the other day. We were talking about auction, and I said, they said that some of the things that are really going crazy, they just can't believe. And the thing, and they said, well, I think it's because we've been cooped up for a year. But how many times have you heard us say on the show here, auctions have done so well over the past year that I don't, I honestly don't believe that you can use that as a reason why things like the stamp or things like the muscle cars, why they have sold so well at auction over the past year. I don't think you can blame it on the pandemic, because auctions have just done gangbusters during the pandemic.
I think, well, the pandemic has really helped the cyber aspect, the virtual aspect of auction, because people, instead of going in person, they're feeling more comfortable placing bids, especially high bids, on a website and it goes back to what Jill always used to say, but I want to see it. I want to see it in person. And yeah, a lot of people do, but it was very difficult to do. And the auction houses, big and small, have all really have risen to the occasion and have been able to provide access to the stuff so that people can look at this, feel comfortable in spending a lot of money. I mean, even just at the end of May, there was a rare diamond. It was a purple pink diamond that sets a record for the largest ever to be auctioned, and it sold for $29 million. And that was, you know, they were thinking it was going to sell for a whole lot. They knew that it was going to break some records, but it sold in Hong Kong. And it, here again, you have the, it's the globalization of the auction market is that we're starting to look at these, and these are being reported that it's not just right here in New York or right here in, whether it's New York or locally in Chicago or in Los Angeles or even in London. Now it is more global. There are Hong Kong is a major center where auctions are taking place. Paris is another place. So we're seeing that these items are coming to market that have the value characteristics that drive the bidding: rarity, desirability, one of a kind, you know, never before seen, the largest, the smallest. It's all of those adjectives that go along with it.
Now, seeing as you're in Chicago in the middle of the country, I want you to extend your stay, because on June 18th and 19th, there's going to be a Fiestaware auction that's going on in Indiana. Now, I saw the story and I said, Fiestaware, I know the guys have talked about that, and I thought they kind of just wrote it off, but I guess there's this company that has these Fiestaware auctions all the time.
Oh, where in Indiana? Because I will actually be in Indianapolis on the 13th.
It's going to be in Wolcottville, Indiana.
Wolcottville, wow.
Wolcottville in Indiana. 2-day Fiesta auction, June 18th and 19th.
Oh, I will. We'll have to check that out.
Now, what about Fiestaware? I mean, I thought I kind of associate it with like Tupperware.
Oh, no, not at all.
I struck a chord here.
I only say that because if you've ever seen how they produce it and the history of it, it's definitely an American collectible, and there again, it was never meant to be collected. It was meant to be very utilitarian. But the Fiesta Company is even though all of the financial stuff that's been happening over the past 10 or 15 years, and they've cut down their production, they are still, without a doubt, probably the most well-known dinnerware that's ever been produced. And it's been desirable, really, from its origins. And to be able to go to West Virginia to the factory and watch them make this, and the fact that it's an American-owned company, started by a family, still running, even at limited time, you know, limited inventory capacity. And stuff,
yeah,
and capacity, that they have they've endured. And Fiesta is, it's going to be around a lot longer, I think, than Tupperware. Although I have to say, I absolutely idolize Tupperware, and I've had several Tupperware parties over the years.
Well, and we still use Fiestaware. We have it and we use it. But this auction, it must be, it's a single owner collection. It's the Sandra Bond Fiesta auction. It's one of the finest collections of vintage Fiesta, post 86 Fiesta, Harlequin, Kitchen Craft, and other HLC wares that this auction company has ever offered. The auction includes many rare, one of a kind pieces. So it must be some of, I think they have one of a kind pieces as well as prototypes. And so you're looking at just rare, hard to find, one offs possibly that are going to be sold. And yeah,
I just marked it, and I'm going to follow this sale because we actually have a collection that we use every single day, the original Fiesta ware, but we don't store it away in like a museum. We use it every piece, and we use it almost every single day. And I looking at the sale, there are some pieces that we wanted to collect over the years, but 15 or 20 years ago, Fiesta was so hot and the prices were so high for vintage Fiesta ware that it was virtually impossible at that time for us to afford to get some of these things. And now the one good thing about what's happened with the internet auctions is that these collections have come to the surface, and the supply, it's not as rare as it was before the internet, because now you can find them anywhere. But the key is to make sure that you have the vintage, because even the new stuff looks very, very good. And the great thing about the vintage is it, even after all these years, it's still very functional and serves a purpose of beauty, and it also serves a purpose of functionality and desirability. And those are two things that really drive the market for Fiesta ware.
Well, look at this.
The nice thing, and I'm go ahead.
No, go on.
Oh, well, the other nice thing is that I'm looking at this, and, you know, when we were talking about all these other things than the millions of dollars, you can, these have starting bids of $20, you know, and you can probably buy something for $50 in this auction. You know, I mean, it depends, smaller things, but then they also have other things that are in the $300 to $500 range, and really a great diverse collection.
Well, I can just give you one really good example of how the market has changed and in certain areas of Fiesta ware, and we'll use that over the years. In fact, one of the very first items that you pull up when you look at this auction are the candlesticks, the tripod candlesticks. And even now, they're estimated at $200 to $300 with opening bids of $100. But 15 years ago, when we were looking for these things, you could probably, well, I wouldn't say add a zero, but I think they would have, if I'm not mistaken, they were estimated maybe twice as high as maybe $500 to $700 for a pair.
Correct.
And now, you know, the possibility exists that you can get these great original colors for this beautiful architectural piece of tableware for, you could probably get it for maybe $200 or $300. So this is, to Tim's point, it's great to see something the complete polar opposite of some of the cars and the things that are really high end. This is something that everybody can collect. And if you like color and you like pottery and you want to even start a collection, this would be the perfect collection to start with.
Well, there you go, folks. Double M was slapped down big time on making fun of Fiesta Wear this morning. It's just the name sounds like Tupperware, Fiesta Wear. You know what I mean? It doesn't sound collectible. But once again, that's the reason why I don't own anything of value, because I have no idea. Guys, it's always interesting, and I always learn something. Safe travels, Tim, and Greg, stay safe down there in Florida, and we'll speak to you next week.
Sounds good. Have a great
week.
Take care, buddy. Take care, guys. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' frack of Nick and Knack with Appraise This. You'll find them at tqag.com on the web.